Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Whatcha!
Welcome back to Okla Said. We are the official Okla Ed podcast, and hey,
Aaron, we are the only Okla Ed podcast.
Not anymore. I mean, officially talking about Okla Ed conversations. Yes.
The chat.
Yeah, officially talking about the chat. Yes, you are right. But there are several people in Okla Ed podcasting these days.
You better believe. I hated to interrupt your introduction. You want to start again?
No, I'm okay. Good. People right. Know. People are like, we know what she was going to say. She says that every time. Well, I'm Aaron Barnes, and my co-host is Scott Hazelwood. You can follow him at Teach From Here on the Twitters. You can follow me at ebarnes73, or you can follow the podcast itself at Okla Said.
Please follow us, yeah.
Yeah, you should definitely follow us.
Sometimes I get confuzzled on which account I'm on Twitter and retweet or like things from Okla Said that I meant to retweet or like from my official Scott Hazelwood account. And
whenever I do that, I don't take it away, but I just go find it on my real account and like it again, so they get double love from me.
It's like a twofer.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I run 4 Facebook accounts, and
wow,
when you're on your telephone, it is really difficult to change which account commented on that thing. So
yeah, I feel you, Smalls.
Anyway, we have had a long hiatus. We apologize, Okla Ed, but we took a Christmas break ourselves, and this is our first episode back from that Christmas break, right?
Yes, and I didn't do my due diligence with scheduling our – I've tried to – because I know in the past when we've done this, we've always had 2 or 3 weeks around Christmas time where I knew that it would be hard for us to connect because of our schedules.
Right.
And I totally dropped the ball on sending out some of our greatest hits of the past, as it were, because those have always been well liked, getting some of those rewinds.
Definitely. But people, they're like, oh yeah, we've heard that one twice already. We don't need to hear it a third time, because we listen to Okla Said every week.
Yeah,
except for the last 4 weeks. Well, so our first episode back was Kristen Atchley at Kristen Atchley, and she's going by something crazy on the Twitters, like the Brave One or something.
Isn't that her word?
Brave?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
She is the official school counselor lady of the OSDE. I like that you wrote that in there.
Yeah, that's what she is. She's the school counselor lady. And yeah. Not the, we're going to check your schedule out and see if we can move you from band to art, from first hour to third hour without rearranging anything else.
Yes.
She's also not going to proctor your exam, because that's not what she does. She's like legit counselor. Like, hey, we're going to help.
Tell me how you feel.
Yes. We're going to help these kids be better kids. Like, we're going to just give them the like real life counseling that they need.
Like, couch in the office. Why don't you lay down and tell me about yourself?
Yeah. So I always am challenged by a Kristen Atchley moderated Okla Ed conversation.
Me too, because I'm not really in touch with my feelings that much. I mean, I get passionate, but like, how do I feel about this?
Don't lay down on the couch. I am not a counselor person.
So what is our topic this week?
Empathy, connection, and courage.
Good.
Yeah.
I could use some empathy. I like making connections and courage.
I empathize with you.
I'm a cowardly lion. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're sneaking up from behind me.
Well, question one.
Mm-hmm.
What is one area this year you have leaned into vulnerability and rumbled? Where's the decoder ring to unlock that question?
I mean, we only have like 200 characters to respond or whatever. So, dang, Kristen, bring in the heat on the first one.
Question one. I chose somebody. Oh, I chose Kimberly Blodgett on this one.
I chose somebody. In our notes, all it says is Aaron, A1. There's usually when we do our notes, there's like the person, like Aaron and me, so we know who's talking. It's in different colors. And usually the person whose tweet we're using is the next name. And Aaron, Aaron's quoting herself. So Kimberly Blodgett.
Okay. She says, I lean into vulnerability every time I own a mistake, every time I don't have the answers, every time I admit imperfection. I embrace that feeling, although uncomfortable. It's when I grow and I can be seen as humans by my students. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's good.
And if you follow her Twitter feed, you can see her vulnerability. It's there. Like, you can see her share some of those things.
Yes.
I went with Carrie Hicks, new senator. Senator elected.
She's sworn in.
As we record this at a later date. She said this year, I leaned all the way into my vulnerabilities and asked thousands of residents for honest feedback on how things are working in Okla Ed. There is so much power in listening, and she's going to be able to do a lot of that, I think.
Yeah, that's great.
So, continuing this, Kristen has challenged us to read and reflect on a few of the answers to the first question and show empathy, give grace, and hold space.
Yeah, she did challenge us. I did not take her up on that challenge.
Whew.
I'm the worst. I guess I really missed this. This is first episode back. I'm failing.
Well,
listen, world, I'm failing. I'm leaning into my vulnerability, and I'm telling you, I failed at picking a tweet for question two.
But also hard to pick a tweet because there's no context for it. Like, in the middle of the conversation, it was hard. I went with Coach Dunn, Mike Dunn, and he was responding to Sherry, and he said, I love this. Nothing great was ever accomplished without a few missteps. I would so much rather have a teacher that dares to be great and comes up short than one who never dares. And I would just piggyback on that some of the greatest coaches in all of sports would tell you that if you're not making mistakes, you're not trying to do something.
Yeah.
And he was actually responding to Sherry Gately. She said, her answer to question one, I've taken a lot more risks professionally this year, which also means I've failed a lot more professionally this year. I'm learning a lot about myself, my passion, my vision for my career. It's been humbling and rewarding. And so that's what Coach Mike was talking about.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So there you go.
Well, question three, finish this statement. Growing up, I believed vulnerability was...
for sissies. That's how I would have finished that growing up.
It's, wow. That was... Yeah. That was good. I picked Sherry Gately because her first word was mine. Weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, honestly, I have a hard time asking for help, saying no, and admitting I can't do it all. I'm learning, however, that vulnerability is a strength. And I think that it's all about the conversations we have. I mean, we talk about failing forward. We talk about, right, you know, failing being the 10,001th way, 10,001st way to figure out the light bulb, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we still figured out the light bulb, but, well, I didn't. But you got to fail to find your golden nugget, I suppose.
Well, and if you would have asked me when I was in high school what I thought about failure, I would have been like, failure's for chumps. Like, there's nothing to be learned from failure.
Right.
And so the grace of years and the experiences I've lived have led me to a completely different view of that. But I didn't want to ask for help when I was younger because I knew it all, right?
Right.
I went with Deborah Thornton. She's at DJ Thornton. She said, showing someone your weakness. Now I think it is showing someone your strengths, weakness, hopes, failures, and dealing with whatever fallout might occur. And
yeah.
I can appreciate that, but I just feel like we learn so much if we learn from our failures. like legitimately truly learn. We can learn so much about how wrong we were over time.
Right.
Does that make sense? And I don't mean that in like a negative, harmful way, but I mean that like we grow through our experiences, we grow through what we do, we grow through our mistakes, and if we truly learn from those things, like how I got there, the choices I made that led to this, we change our view on a lot of that because, you know, I think there's a lot to vulnerability now, especially as a teacher.
Right.
That I would not never have considered in year one, two, or three of teaching.
So are you in your job enough right now to dare greatly? Are you ready to step out on a limb?
I have stepped on the limb in a couple places already.
Okay, good.
So
I would say I have stepped on a limb. I've broken a limb and had to reach for another already, but but I'm thinking I have too, so that's good.
I can't roll and stay inside an existing system. So I'm always looking for a way to do something better or different. In fact, the first time I met my new group, I probably said some things I should never have said.
What?
But at the same time, I was revealing a personality and a belief of me that I live. And it had something along the lines of, I have zero tolerance for people that do things but a certain way because that's the way you've always done them. I have no tolerance for that. If there's good reasons for continuing old practices, I'm for that. But in this day and age, there's no reason why my classroom should look exactly like it did 20 years ago. Like, it just should not resemble Scott Hazel's classroom from year one teaching.
No.
And so, why do you still hand out that very same sheet on the very first day of school every single year? Oh, because I've always done it that way. Oh my god. So anyway, finish this statement. As an adult, now I believe vulnerability is, and this is Q4.
Yeah. So I went with Jason Bangs. Vulnerability is a weakness to open up.
Willingness.
That's what I said. Willingness to open up. Share shortcomings and failures. Have conversations about them to facilitate growth in yourself and maybe others from following the same path you did. Right. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not weakness. Sorry, guys. It was willingness. Right. But that's another W word, that it went from weakness to now willingness to share.
Stinking Kristen getting us all W'd up. I really like what Steve Gilliland had to say here. He's at Steve_Gilliland. He said, being brave enough to admit when you're wrong and say I'm sorry when needed, no matter your position, and really mean it, and being brave enough to ask for help and admit when you don't know everything, the desire to get out of the comfort zone.
I don't know everything. I like to approach things with I don't know everything. So that it really lowers the bar.
I've started saying no a whole lot to questions like, do you know what you're doing? No, not really. Mm-mm, do you know no. what you need to know? No, not really. No. Would you like a taco no. today? Yes, I'd like a taco. Give me a taco.
Exactly, yes. You're so right. Anyway, question five. A shaming culture can be contagious. If you walk through your building or office and witness a teacher or supervisor belittling a student or any person,
you're
a threat to your culture. What will you do? Or any person, you a threat to your culture. I'm guessing that this question revolves around, you see somebody shaming or belittling a kid, what do you do? Or are you going to perpetuate this? Attitude and behavior in your school, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so I think I said something to the effect of, I probably won't do anything right there in front of the kid and because I walked up on something. I have no idea what happened before. Uh-huh. But maybe after the fact, say, hey, like, you came down harsh on kid, you know, this is what it looked like from the outside. Is that what you meant to do?
Right.
You know, because they might not know, or they might fully know.
Right.
But I don't think belittling should be part of the plan.
No. But sometimes when if you come upon a situation and you just see the end result, you're missing maybe some context. I'm not saying it's correct for a teacher to shame or belittle a student, but also there's times when you want to smote the student from the face of the earth. And somebody walks upon you when you thought you were in mid-smote. I'm not saying that's the right way to do things. But yeah, I agree with you. I think in a situation like that, to come back later and talk with the faculty and be like, hey, this is what I saw. And is this a correct interpretation of what I saw?
Right. Right. Maybe, and maybe offer some advice on how they could do it and make it look different or, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Or potentially, help that teacher with maybe some classroom practices so that smoting of all the children every day doesn't occur.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Who'd you pick?
I picked Miss Talanya Norfar. She says, I haven't ever been there when it actually happened, but I always hear about it later. I think God is protecting people because I would probably want to kill them on the spot. Pray for me, she says.
Speaking of smoting, where did Mr. Smith go? I don't know, but Ms. Norvar was over there a few minutes ago. Like, as Ms. Norvar.
That's funny.
She said something about something, and then poof, that teacher was gone.
Yeah.
I went with William Stubbs here. He said, William Stubbs. He said, this is occurring nationwide in so many schools and districts where the adults believe that the practices of yesteryear were effective. See something, say something. And this is where I go, oh my gosh. Why are we still doing the same things that 20 years ago we knew were wrong?
Right.
You know, like I worked with a guy, and he's like, you want to get a teenager to change his behavior? Humiliate him. And I'm like, I can't.
No.
I can't. Holy moly. I will not. Now, I may accidentally do that, but I'm not going to intentionally do that to correct a behavior.
Well, and like.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Question six. How does this idea apply to your work? So again, this idea being the shaming culture, the contagious, what will you do?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just think that if we all know that we're in there to help each other out, that life will be better.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
That.
Like, if I know I have to turn around and look over my shoulder all the time, like, what good is that?
Right.
So let me just read to you the question, specific question here. And Kristen says, leaders must either invest a reasonable amount of time attending to fears and feelings or squander an unreasonable amount of time trying to manage ineffective and unproductive behavior, which is the smoting thing that we were just talking about.
Right.
So, how does this apply to your work environment?
It's a good question. So I went with Chong Silor.
Yeah, Chong.
And I will, I'm on his Twitter feed right now. I didn't link his tweet here, but it says, there are days when I feel that I spend more time managing behavior, but there are days when I feel I have continued support to build rapport with my students. I prefer to manage behavior first before I do anything else. And so I'm going out on a limb here. Like, he feels like he's got the support in this building, but he needs to manage the behavior before seeking, do you think?
I think that's what he's saying. Like, if I can get my class running smooth, it'll be easier for me to build the rapport with my students.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So there you go. And that's a chicken egg deal.
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you do first? I don't know. So this, and so this is how Chong has approached it.
Yeah.
And based off what Chong has shared, he tries to be very considerate and thoughtful in these things. So it's not like he's.
No, and we've both already said we'd hire you.
Oh, so. Yeah. For realsies. So Abby Land, who is at Land_ELA, said, I have realized that education is a calling and it is about a relationship. If you don't build them, then you are on sand the entire time. Kids, adults, us as a human race, we all need that human connection.
Yep.
Bazoomis.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So question 7. Read and reflect on a few answers to question 6. Show empathy. Give grace. Hold space. And I, whenever I was looking for tweets for this one, there weren't, there, you've got the one. Everybody must have replied within the conversation. The conversation from the first text. So,
yeah, and during chat, these questions are great. Like questions like this, like go back and look at these suggestions and what are your thoughts and opinions? But they're hard to talk about in our podcast.
I know.
Because there's no context. So I went with William Stubbs again. He said, I've been in many schools nationwide. This part of school leadership is draining and can thwart student achievement and culture if not addressed. My favorite phrase is, whatever isn't the division is division.
Whatever isn't the vision
is division. Right.
I like that.
So I don't know that he's addressing anybody in particular, but he's just sharing like, hey, we've got to have a vision. We got to have a goal. We've got to be intentional about it.
Which
goes back to the thing that Kristen asked. So question 8.
This is a tough one.
Only,
thanks a lot.
Only the tough questions. Shame says, I am bad. Guilt says, I did something bad. Shame convinces us we are not worthy and we must hustle for our worth. What is one area you might be hustling your worth?
yikes. asking us to be all vulnerable and stuff.
Krista, why are you asking such good questions?
No, that's a jerky question. Don't get me thinking. I don't need to reflect on things. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. I went with Emily Jones here because boy, does she open up, but then I want to give her some advice. She says, Emily Jones, who is at Teach4OK, she says, I really didn't want to mention this, but I didn't get a job that I interviewed for. Mm-hmm. I've felt like ever since I've had to hustle to show everyone in the education community my worth. Mm-hmm. A, Emily. Your first year teacher, you'd be doing that even if you did interview for the job. B, I think at this point in time, they're like, you haven't molested a child, you got a degree, please come teach for us. You know, I mean, I hate to say that, and you're probably way better than that. In fact, you came from the OU education program. I know you're better than that because we've seen plenty of the products that have come from the OU education platform. So, Emily, even though you didn't interview, like, put that to bed and move on. You're earning your spot every day. And shoot, the way the TLE is set up, if you're not, you'll find out about it pretty quick. So you're doing good. All right. Don't worry about it.
I listened to you respond to Emily and applied it to my own life because there's been a couple of jobs that I have interviewed for. I'm like, Red Sack and Sons of Hoochie Mamas, I'm going to show you guys that you missed out on Scott Hazelwood. You told me no. I You made me second twice? Okay, that's it. I'm sure I'm going to this game on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a true story. Like, and my wife, God bless her, she was like, listen, you have tonight, and then get over yourself.
I like your wife.
Yeah, I do too.
Jasmine, you rock. Will you please tweet?
She's a special lady.
Let her know. Okay.
But yeah, it's basically the same thing you're saying. Like, you're good. They didn't want you. It's fine. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Who'd you pick?
So I went with TLI Oklahoma, who is at Oklahoma TLI, Teacher Leadership Institute. And they said, I am the first to admit that I have some white guilt. I grew up with a tremendous amount of privilege, but the savior complex is part of the problem in education. Kids and families don't need saving. They need empowering.
Wow.
I like that.
That's
I'm gonna just come in and with my own personality, I'm gonna rescue all these children. I just love them so much.
Right. Right. Wow.
But changing
great questions, great response.
Because I think I felt that same way too early on. Like, I'm gonna rescue all these babies. They need Scott Hazelwood to rescue, you know, early on in the teaching. But by the end I was like, no, we're gonna learn how to do this for you.
Yeah.
you know, where you can do this, where you can be you, because damn it, you are.
I'm trying to remember because I don't know that I remember feeling like I needed to rescue them, but like from the same world, like I grew up in the same world as some of them. Mm-hmm. And I think for the most part, it wasn't about rescuing, but showing that we can move on mm-hmm. from here. Mm-hmm. And so I would hope that that doesn't sound like rescue, but also like, hey, there's a way out and let's try to ride that train. So.
I just want, you know, there's been a lot of like girl power and feminine strength and all that kind of stuff here in the news, you know, recently. And some of my favorite, yeah. and I have daughters and I want them to, I don't want them to be, you know, quote unquote, limited by what they think they could or couldn't do based on society, you know?
Right.
And so some of these things, like with the empowerment, you know, the whole, one of the shirts I know, and especially for the middle kiddo, I think it would just really suit her well, is both my girls, but especially the middle one. She thought she could, so she did. And I love that. And then just take the she out and put your students' names in there.
Yeah.
John thought he could, so he did. Lisa thought she could, so she did. And just enable them and empower them and grow them up to be. We had a conversation during this holiday season about female referees in the NFL. And, okay. And because there is at least one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my brother shared that he just didn't think that was a place for women to be. And,
okay.
And so my sister.
it's not like they're in the locker room with him.
Yeah, no, they're a completely separate thing. And he has daughters. He's got two daughters. And I guess what I can understand his point of view. He's sort of conservative in his family values and beliefs, and men do one thing and women do another. And I get that that's a cultural argument. But also at the same right. time, I don't want to be able to, I am not going to look at my daughter and go, well, you can't do that because that's a man's job. You know, I want to empower them. Like, if you think you can be an NFL referee, you go do it, kid. Or whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think that's why I grabbed onto this particular tweet.
Anyway. No, that's, I mean, that would be hard to have that conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they firmly believe it, it's you can't argue with, you're not, I mean, sometimes you're just not changing somebody's mind. But, right. I mean, I would say it's not like we're in the locker room.
Right.
That's all. You know.
And to us, being in a locker room is a big deal, boys and girls. But you go other places, it's not a big deal.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, there's just one locker room and everybody changes before gym class and nobody thinks anything of it.
Right.
So.
Well, and I was the state's first female wrestler. And now, I mean, I know.
Yes. Sorry.
I know. But, and so.
You were, for real, though? For real, the first? Like, the first female? Like, documented?
Yeah.
You go. She thought
Title
she
IX,
could, so she did.
I know. Well, I think a lot of it was my mom pushing for it. But, I mean, but it started out, I was a mat maid, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't even know if they call them that anymore. But then I would be like, no, you just move your elbow, or if you, you know. And so I was kind of like assistant coach on the
side. If you would listen to me, I could get you out of that mess you're in.
I know. And then Coach Meserly was like, why don't you just join us? And he was like so cool about it. And so I did. I only wrestled two bouts, and I did lose those, but I was forfeited on everywhere else. So, anyway, craziness. But
that sounds like its own podcast one day where I'll play interviewer.
It might be. So, but it would be hard to have that conversation with your brother who's like, that's not a place for girls. Yeah. And I'm like, and I would agree that maybe wrestling isn't really the place for girls, having done it now already. But you don't know until you try.
Right.
I don't know. I'm proud of NFL ref.
And just empower our students. All that comes back to empowering our students to go be, do, whatever.
Try.
Yeah.
Dare greatly.
Uh-huh. Oh, dare greatly. Summed up perfectly by Aaron Barnes.
Thanks. Well, question 9. When we fear vulnerability, we avoid and numb. What ways do you avoid reality and numb your feelings when you want to run from vulnerability? And I really did. I copied and pasted Twyla's tweet in here, but then I found Stephanie's, which I missed the name again, but I'll fix that. I found Stephanie's. Twyla said, I just go grab some Facebook time. So I'm like, yeah, and you can avoid all kinds of things there. But anyway, I found Stephanie Hittens, and I was like, yeah, that's actually way more up my alley. She said, curling up on the couch and watching Gilmore Girls. Lately, I've been trying to be more productive, like going for a run. And, you know, but Gilmore Girls beats it out.
You got a thing.
Or Bones, or, you know, whatever it is. So
I went with good old Sherry Gailey here, and she said, I make myself extra busy so I don't have to face those feelings. I got, oh, look at, time to do the next activity. I don't have time to wallow.
I don't have time to finish this conversation. That's awesome. Oh,
so then Kristen slam jammed us with one more. The last two questions were pretty intense. Read and reflect on what others have said. Show empathy, give grace, hold space. And neither one of us picked a tweet for this one. Because
I mean, it's hard. How do you find those? Yeah, anyway,
really good. And by the way, Kristen hosted this remotely by scheduling her tweets ahead of time because she was out with her family enjoying some Kristen time with her boys.
Proud of her.
All three of them. And so there you go. You too can moderate an Oakland Ed chat while being at the theater.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's boom sauce.
Let's do.
Okay. So I chose Steve Gilliland here, and it was in response to question four. Finish this statement. Mm-hmm. As an adult, I now believe vulnerability is, and he says, being brave enough to admit when you're wrong and say I'm sorry when you needed, no matter your position. Mm-hmm. When needed, not when you're needed. saying I'm sorry when needed, no matter your position. And really mean it. Being brave enough to ask for help and admit you don't know everything. The desire to get out of the comfort zone.
Yeah,
and
that's a good one.
I really liked it. Now, that, I mean, you chose that tweet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you chose that tweet. I mean, but so I thought
That's how powerful it was, though. I mean, we both liked it. I went with Chong C. Lore, and he said, I read my first group of students' exit tickets. I still have them. They remind me why I chose to stay in Oklahoma when I could have gone somewhere else. Sometimes being vulnerable in a positive manner can negate the negative vulnerability that I feel.
That's good.
He's so good. He's so good. So yeah. There you go. There's the old chat from Kristen. Thank you. Empathy, connection, and courage.
It was great. And the next chat will be Reflect and Refresh.
With our good buddy.
And it'll be
Ann Beck.
Mrs. Beck 25.
Don't you forget that, because one time I called her Miss Beck and she's like, uh-uh, it's Mrs. And I was like, I am so sorry. Woo.
Yeah.
Didn't mean good to luck. Get on your bad side.
Good luck, buddy.
Yeah.
And if you want to join in the Twitter chat conversations, they happen every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. If you miss it, though, you can just tune into Oklahoma.
At some point, we'll recap it.
Yep.
Maybe.
All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and eat some tacos.
No, they've got to dominate the world.
And eat tacos.
You can eat tacos while dominating the world. Definitely eat the tacos. Ah, that's all right. I was just kidding anyway.
But were you?
I was. I do not fall under those.
Only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Okay.